Since the launch of the declaration, the rate of global forest loss has actually increased by over 40%. And that means that we've lost about 26 million hectares of tree cover, which is about the size of the United Kingdom. So that's very alarming. And then on the other hand, on forest restoration, there are more mixed results based on the global data and also the regional data. But on the global data, the assessment shows that only about 27 million hectares of forests have undergone restoration over the last 20 years. So that represents less than 20% of the area that was committed under the Declaration of Forests.
So let's look at what's driving deforestation so we can have a clearer picture of where those companies and countries who endorsed the New York Declaration of Forests, where they've gone wrong. Can you explain the bad habits that have brought us to this point?
Yeah, well, the main drivers of deforestation continue to be commercial agriculture, and specifically the commodities of cattle or beef, palm oil, timber, and soy. Increasingly, we're starting to see more drivers of kind of shifting agriculture in Central Africa, which is home to the large forests in the Congo Basin. So that's also alarming. But for now, in terms of looking at what the main drivers are, we really need to still look at the main companies that are driving this. And one of the alarming findings also that we have is that 350 of the most influential companies with forest-relevant operations is not on track to achieve their commitments to deforestation and free supply chains by 2020. So one of the other goals in the declaration was to eliminate deforestation from supply chains by 2020, and clearly we're not on track to do that. So this is all kind of dire and not in the place where we want to be. But there has been some progress by many companies and also governments on trying to address deforestation, trying to make their supply chains deforestation free. However, we found that the actions remain largely individual and not collective. And that's really the problem, because we need collective action to make large scale changes in the entire land sector and not just, you know, in soy in this country or in palm oil in this region.
Is there the sense that perhaps companies don't have the skills necessary to remove deforestation from their supply chains?
Well, I think that there are certainly some barriers. And I think that while there are the large companies that want to address deforestation, they can't enforce illegal clearing of smallholders on the ground. So I think that it's not an excuse for inaction, but they do have some barriers in dealing with the smallholders. And it's a very complex system where you have, you know, supply chains that spread across the entire globe and with probably hundreds to thousands of different smallholders on just one commodity alone. And so I think trying to increase transparency on knowing exactly where your product comes from is really, really important. And I think that there have been strides made by companies to address greater transparency in their supply chain. So hopefully that will translate over to decreased deforestation in the future. But I think what we're seeing more of is that the largest measures that have been the most successful to date have been demand-side measures and sector-wide measures. And what I mean by that is sector-wide measures like a moratorium on soy, for example, or a moratorium on peatland concessions in Indonesia, which ultimately has been the most successful story to date, is that we've seen a 30% decrease over the last 3 years in deforestation in Indonesia, largely because of these peatland moratoria.
This is an assessment of forest loss, but also forest gain. As you've said, we know that less than 20% of overall forest restoration goals have been met. So can we say that we're too far behind on replanting forests for them to be considered effective at all in offsetting the loss of natural forests?
Yeah, that's a great point. So the one thing that I want to clarify is that we certainly don't want to say offsetting, because deforestation, especially with primary forests, can't really be offset, because you're losing both the emissions of the forest, but also foregone carbon sequestration moving forward. And restoring a primary forest could take, you know, up to a century to restore back to the ecosystem services that once were there. So the goal of restoration isn't to necessarily offset forest loss. Ideally, you would see them in tandem put together so that you would restore buffer areas, so degraded areas around pristine forests, so that you would actually complement each other. So on the one hand, you would have restoration create buffers to reduce deforestation, but also to sequester carbon and provide habitat corridors to enhance biodiversity. So I think that we're not too far behind. We're never too far behind because I don't think we can just give up. We have, you know, millions of hectares of forests remaining. And if all of those forests were to go, then we're going to be in a very hot and very troubled world. And so I think we need to figure out how to use this report as kind of an alarm bell, so to speak, for the 2020 targets that are not just the 2020 targets for the declaration, but also the 2020 targets for the NDCs that are going to be increasing in ambition next year in the UNFCCC negotiations. So we hope that this is kind of an alarm bell to say, hey, we're pretty far from achieving these targets and we're pretty far from peaking emissions because deforestation is so vital to peak emissions globally. And we really need to make this more of a collective action globally instead of individual action.
The report found that there's been a failure in transforming the economic incentives that favor forest destruction over forest protection. Isn't there always going to be more money to be made from cutting forests down than there is to actually preserving them?
That's a great point. And I think that one of the key drivers here really is to try to figure out how to incentivize countries and even smallholders to not deforest. And I think that that's where a lot of these policies and that's where a lot of these demand side measures come into play. Because if you're talking about business as usual economics of today, then no. Clearly, you know, clearing a forest and putting a soy plantation on there is always likely to be more lucrative, especially for the farmer, than keeping the forest intact. And that's why we're seeing a big uptick of deforestation in Brazil currently, is because of the, I guess you'd say, the unhappiness of the farmers and being forced to keep standing forests. So I think that we need to figure out how to disburse finance and also make sure that finance is not directly funding this deforestation. There's a lot of multilateral finance that goes towards agricultural development, and making sure that all of that is contingent on agriculture being deforestation free is vital. The same for any kind of development funding. It needs to be contingent that it's deforestation free so that we can promote these incentives of economic development that is in line with forest protection.
The top line of this report is that we're alarmingly behind in pledges to cut the loss of natural forests. But in real terms, what will abandoning these pledges mean for the environment? Like, what's at stake for the climate, for people, and of course for wildlife?
Well, it's really tough because we can't walk away from these pledges. Forests right now, the land currently sequesters 30% of all emissions that we currently put into the atmosphere. And so we already put into the atmosphere enough to warm the planet. And if our forests and the land sector isn't there to help, then we're going to see an increase of 30% of those emissions and 30% of it being contributing to global warming. As I mentioned before, not only is land sequestering or already absorbing 30% of all anthropogenic emissions, it also currently emits about 10% land use change. And so if you think about that, that's a large share of the pie when it comes to climate change. And not to mention biodiversity, which tropical forests right now account for about 90% of all deforestation globally. And these are the storehouses of the large majority of the carbon and the biodiversity on our planet today. So walking away from that and seeing further damage to our forests is going to be detrimental, not just to climate, but also to our biodiversity. And also just stepping back a little bit, and not just climate, but, you know, forests regulate climate, not just from carbon. Forests regulate climate through the water cycle. And there's been various studies that show that if you deforest the Amazon, for example, enough, you could see a decrease in about 20% of precipitation in that area. And that's going to have large effects on agriculture, productivity, and output moving forward. Forests are not just vital for our climate, they're vital for our food, and they're vital for biodiversity.